Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He has so much to say to His people. He cares about us in every way and in every capacity. God cares about us. And remember, the Lord said in 2017, "Tell my people my return is imminent, and to be ready that they be not left." Sometimes we need the mindset of God. If God says something like that, what is He looking at? See, He watches everything. We look at things from a certain perspective, but He's looking at everything from a God's eye view. He's looking at the people that He can see through time. He can see where things are going, where people are headed. And once a man's heart gets too hard, he won't come back. The Lord's been teaching me about lukewarm people. Jesus said that the lukewarm, He would spit out of His mouth. And that's been bothering me. Because it's true. He will do it. And so I'm going to go back and visit that again. He cares about us. First of all, you got to know God loves us. And He has rules. He already spoke His word. God obeys His own word. So don't think that He can just get you out of trouble because He wish He could. You gotta be in alignment with the word of God. You can't do the things that's wrong and everything is going to be all right. See, the laws of sowing and reaping, planting, harvesting. People say karma. Well, what you put in motion is in motion, and it's going to cost you something if it's wrong, and it's going to bless your life if it's right. I had to live in a neighborhood that was drug infested for several years, from 1985 to 1996. I lived in this neighborhood. It was fall of 85 when I moved there, and it was fall of 96 when I left. So that was, 11 years I lived in this neighborhood, and it was drug infested. So I seen a lot of sowing and reaping. And the thing about when people are doing evil, it always causes a corruption in their life. And if they don't get killed, which some of them do, they live a miserable life. I've never seen a person more tense than a drug dealer. If somebody come around that's new, they study them to see what they're about. If they have on a suit, they want to know, who is this person? Is that a policeman? Is it a lawyer? Is that a detective? That's how they think. They pace back and forth. They watch. If they're having fun with their friends, they get up and they look down the street to see who's coming. Is it another competition? Is it a drug dealer that want to kill them? An enemy? Is it somebody that owe them money? I've seen all this. They have no rest. They do this all day long. They worry about everything. They're scared, especially if it's their third strike. They act very nervous and jumpy. Now, I'm saying this not to focus on drug dealers, but sowing and reaping. They're doing something that they know is wrong and against the law. And the people that they're selling drugs to are dying, and it's their fault. They're in it. They're going to pay for that. I got a friend, one of my oldest friends, he decided, after his parents died, he decided to sell drugs. And in 1996, the Lord gave me a dream that he was dead. And I said, I said, I dreamt that you was dead. I told him about the dream. I said, you're going to die unless you stop what you're doing now. And he kind of smirked, you know, he didn't stop. He had to stop then, but he didn't. And 10 years went by, in a few months, they killed him. Sowing and reaping. The Lord gave warning. All he had to do was stop and get a job, start working. He would have lived. The Lord can see through time. That's why I'm bringing it up. And if you do so much wrong, it's going to kill you. It's going to take you out. I know by another friend, a mutual friend, that he did want to hang with him and do better, but he waited too long. Now, before tragedy happens, God knows. He see a train wreck before it happens. But he can't do anything about it unless he gets somebody to believe him for it. Then he can intervene. He can't stop you from evil sowing. And he don't want to stop you from sowing good. Now the point is not the demise of drug dealers. The point is this: God can see a train wreck coming and he knows what to do. But before he can act, he's got to get somebody to believe. If it's evil sowing, he got to get you to change your mind about it. That's what he tried to do for my friend. That's what the Lord tried to help my friend with. He knew that this day was going to come, so he gave me a dream about him. I dreamt that he was, I was at the funeral and I saw him in the casket and everything. And he gave him fair warning. But the condition, the word of wisdom was he had to stop now, back in 1986, but he didn't. When the Lord said, tell my people my return is imminent, be ready that, that they be not left. A lot of people have heard me say that for the last 3 or 4 years and have changed your ways. If there was no warning, things might be different by now. Some may have even done enough to die by now. But some people have come to know the Lord. And they took God more serious and they stayed out of mess and strife and unforgiveness and adultery and fornication and homosexuality, whatever they were into, they quit. And they started living a life that love that God can receive. See, God can't receive. Sin is, I'm going to put it this way. Sin is destructive and he's not going to allow it to destroy his creation, no matter who attaches himself to it. There's no evil in the kingdom of God in heaven. But he's judging it. He has a plan to judge it. We may be the only world that comes to God out of darkness. See, Daniel said that there will be an end to sin. God is going to shut it down. He's going to judge it once and for all. But to save us, he gave us a period of grace so that we can come to get to know God. Everybody that's still alive, this is their chance to get saved and get right with God. God gave me that chance. I didn't get saved till I was almost 20, even though my parents were pastors. And my dad was a Methodist pastor. My mother, she was a pastor too, because she really helped him in the ministry. And they were faithful and never complained. They are always doing the will. They enjoy doing God's will. But see, we all have to get saved on our own. Other people are there to help us and encourage us. And it takes time for people. You know, people have to make up their mind. What am I going to do? They have to decide, I'm going to do this. And when that happens, then God can be involved in their life. And I thank God for all the wonderful men and women of God, who helped me grow and come to a point of having a mind to get saved and a heart that want to know God. And I thank God for my parents. I thank God for godly parents. And all the preachers, Elder Lewis and Reverend Rice, my dad, all of them. I love them. Dr. May, Elvis May. And everybody who helped me grow as a man. Arthur Johnson. I love them. And all the preachers on the radio I listen to. Scott Webb and Pastor Frank Matchin. Love my pastor too. Everybody that helped me grow in the Lord. See, in order for me to get to this point, it took them. I remember listening to J. Vernon McGee and Charles Stanley, all of them. David Jeremiah, Kenneth Hagin, Charles Capps taught me how to speak English right. Speak by faith. See, you can learn from these, from people that God bless you with. Not to mention the other preachers that I grew up with. Earl Evans and Greg Hosey. And Steve, I love them. But this is the thing. As we go forward in the things of God, we grow from glory to glory. And we're able to be a blessing to other people. And I remember the things Terrence Gibbons used to say. Things that help us grow. God cares about every part of our life. And he has given people as a gift. And they play a strong part in your life. These broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. Everything is free. Now, when you go to the site, it'll download to your device and you can hear the whole broadcast all over again. But there's more on the website. That is the website, all the broadcasts are almost 30 minutes long. And you'll get to hear the rest of it on the website. Now, God has in Revelation chapter 3, he's dealing with the lukewarm church. He said, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I wish, or I would, it's my desire, that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. This is a condition that they've gotten themselves in. And I've been praying, what kind of person is a lukewarm person? Now watch this. He said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Now watch this. And knowest not, they don't know it, but they are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. They have goods. They have riches. They have possessions. But spiritually, they are poor, they're wretched, miserable, and poor, blind, and naked. They have disconnected themselves from the life of God. These are Christian people. They have a reputation for being the people of God. But God knows for a fact that they're lukewarm. Now, this is the wisdom. The word of wisdom is verse 18. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And white raiment, which is righteousness, that thou may be clothed, and the same, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. He wants us to see. He wants us to know him. We don't have to fall off the cliff, folks. But we do have to do something about what we know is wrong in our life. And as a man or, you know, a woman of God, we need to make sure we're on board with God. We're living according to his word. The white raiment means righteousness. You know, we need to know, we need to make sure that we are clothed with the love of God. And we see things according to his love, according to his word. Now he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Don't do the things you know is wrong. Do what's right. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. He will have a relationship with you. You'll know him for who he is. To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. See, God loves us. You can't look at the things that you possess. You can't look at status. You have to look at Christ. You have to look at the love of God. They were miserable and blind and naked. Whenever people put worldly things first, then God's going to come last, and then they're going to be disconnected. Satan's going to poison their life. They're not going to know it. They're going to end up wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They have no relationship with God. Lukewarm. They kind of care about God, and they kind of care about the world. And the world is steadily hardening their heart. But see, before people fall off the cliff, Jesus give us a warning. Now, the Laodicean church is like the church in our age, in our day. He don't want us to fall off the cliff. He don't want to have to judge us. You have to understand God's position. He's not going to let sin continue. It's going to stop. When he finished judging the earth, there's not going to be any more sin. He's no more Satan. Read the end of the book. Finish reading Revelation. He's going to put Satan under his foot. He calls the earth his footstool. He's going to destroy all Satan and every sinner, every evil angel, every demon going to hell, and that's going to be final. And the people that continue on, they're not going to have sin anymore. And after Jesus reigned 1,000 years, he'll loose Satan to get everything else that want to sin. And then there's not going to be any more sin forever. It's going to be a thing of the past. So instead of people, Jesus gave us this warning. He saw a problem coming, just like he did with my friend. He's going to have to change his course now, or he would die, which he died. He didn't change his course in time. Now, if he got Satan went to heaven, I hope so, but I don't think so. I hope so. I can always hope so, but... And God give us, you know, warnings. If you know something ain't right and you might get killed, you might start praying if you got good sense. But he didn't stop in time, and he got and they killed him. Now watch what Jesus said to the church at Sardis. He said, "Now unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, but are dead." He said, "Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." He's warning them. They know better, but before they, you know, get to a point of no return, the Lord said, "Be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die." See, when the things of God die in your life, you don't always notice it. That's the problem. Because the Laodicean church, they increased with good, so they think everything's all right. God's happy with me, but he wasn't. And they have need of nothing. They didn't know that they were wretched and poor and blind and naked. They didn't know it. They were unaware. So he said, "Thou and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." They didn't know it. See, when sin consumes your life, you start laughing at the evil that people are doing, have an appetite for it. You don't realize, you went naked, didn't even know it. You're not clothed with the righteousness of God anymore. And when you're wretched, you don't realize you disconnect. Sin has creeped in your life, and it caused problems, and you think to you it's normal. It's just like the frog in the pot of water. You turn up the heat. It gradually gets heat. He get used to it. He don't know it's hot. He don't know he finna die. They don't realize they're miserable. There's a lot of people married. They got a husband at work. They got a nice house. And they think that it's they're miserable and they think it's their husband's fault. They're depressed. They're miserable. They got, you know, on the outside they look great. Look like everything is all right. You got possessions. You got a new car. You got a house. You got furniture. Kids going to college. And you want a divorce? You miserable. You're supposed to be going on vacation, enjoying life. See, the thing, if you have possessions, which is a lot of people are, they're so focused on, they miss out on the things. They quit going to church for working all the time. Then their spirit man get weak. Then they start blaming people for their misery. You know, and complaining. Every time they complain, their life is a little bit weaker. And sometimes a whole lot weaker. They're not in control anymore. See, the Word of God, if you fill your heart with the Word of God, you're in control of your life. Without the Word of God, sin will consume your life and you have no control over your life. You're depending on outside things to make the difference that only God can make. God is gone out of your life. You don't know it because you still go through the motions. You might go to church. You might halfway read the Word of a little bit, but a whole lot less than you do everything. You're miserable. Even though you have possessions, you're spiritually bankrupt, wretched, miserable, and poor. And then blind. You can't tell. You don't see your way out. You don't know your condition. You can't see yourself. You wish you was dead. You wish Jesus would come rapture you out of your misery. And naked. And you're not going to heaven in that condition. Unless you got to get back right with God and start walking according to His love. And all this will fade away. See, God knows a lukewarm state of being is not godly. It has nothing to do with God. All you have to do is change your focus. Start focusing on the Lord and what He said. Your life will become strong. You'll have eyes in your head. You'll be able to see the world for what it really is. Appetites. When I said, you know, when I started saying I crave what I need the most, I stopped desiring desserts that has too much sugar in it. If I buy a dessert from a restaurant, it's usually loaded with sugar. If I eat a spoonful, I can wait and eat the rest another time. I started craving what I needed the most. See, when you involve God in your life, when you do things by faith, it changes things from the root up. Just like the fig tree Jesus cursed. When he said, no man will ever eat of you again, it dried up from the root up. The leaves may have still been green, but the root was dead. The tree died from the root up. When I said I crave what I need the most, the cravings is what get people in trouble. When that got corrected, everything got corrected. That's the power of your words. We live by words. Your life is shaped by what you say. Now, whatever you've been saying all your life, that's what you are now. But when you speak God's word over your life, like Charles Capps always taught, when you speak by faith, your word is shaped by that instead of what used to be. See, everything is changeable. If you do nothing, you're going to change. If you do what's right, you're going to change the way you in under your control. And see, you put yourself under God's control. When you receive His word, you have the wisdom of God in your life. But you can't, when people look at God as an evil king or a mysterious stranger, they don't trust Him. They think this in the back of their mind, I'm doing this so that I don't get judged. That's not what we're talking about. God loves you, but the choices you make, the evil choices you make, will put you in a low down position. The choices people make, it caused them to not know what's going on around them, They know it's not that they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The choices we make causes our life to decline, not God. God is trying to get us out of the misery. People say, well, God don't want to judge anybody. He has to. He's trying to get us into life. People make choices that cause death, and they don't understand how sin works. The Word of God will teach you how sin works. It starts off small and it snowballs. It's like leaven. You put a few ounces of leaven in a barrel, or the yeast will germinate and it'll turn all of it into leaven. So if you allow Satan's words and Satan's will in your life somewhere, the influence of the world, the deadness of the world, and what do people do? They watch TV, they talk on the phone, and most people don't bother to pray anymore. So that world, that heart gets full of the world, and it absorbs, it destroys their hunger for and passion for God, and then they go south. They become like this. Because they don't, it's not that they were evil, it's that they were foolish. The five virgins that God had to leave when the bridegroom came, he had to leave them out. It's not because they were evil as much as it was that they were foolish. They fell into a state of corruption and they couldn't tell. They didn't even mean to do it. But when people don't do what make them strong continually, That's what happened to them. And they decide to do things against God. And they become lukewarm. The kind of people God have to spit out. And they can't tell that they're wrong. Just like King Saul tried to kill David because he was jealous of him. Because he loved power more than God. And he couldn't see himself. He was miserable. He was wretched and poor and miserable and blind. And naked. And he died begging an Amalekite of all people to end his life. He was so focused on power that he had no logic left. And this doesn't need to happen. All of these things can be prevented if we hear the heart of God and do his will. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord.